Oh yeah, if you're listening to this, there's gonna be spoilers.
Yeah, we gotta talk about that. So, I mean, I imagine whoever is watching this has probably already seen the show, but if you haven't and for some reason you just stumbled upon this, I think we've already explained the have we already explained the concept of the show? Did we explain it in the first episode?
Do it again, because I don't think we did.
All right. It's about a guy and a girl. No, wrong. It's about a guy and a bunch of women. And this guy, Shin, he is a failed writer. He writes these stories where no one dies. And for some reason, that's an issue. It's not like there are like, you know, a billion books out there where people don't die. But for some reason, it seems very pertinent. And the reason why it's pertinent is because he himself was witness to the murder of his mother by the hands of his father. And so he has vowed that he will never write about death in any sort of way. So that's his life. And then one day he's greeted by a knock on the door, and there are how many women are there in this show?
It's six. Yeah, it's like six women. I literally did the math in the first episode of like how much money he was like getting, and I think it was around like 30k a month.
Yeah, so he is greeted by six women who each present him I forget, is it 1,000,000 yen each?
Yeah, 1,000,000 yen. I think it's 1,000,000 yen each. Of each of them give them 1,000,000 yen a month. Insane. Yes, in fucking sane.
Who just show up at his door, no explanations, gives him 1,000,000 yen, sets down their stuff, and it just start making themselves at home in his house that for some reason has six up to seven rooms.
Yeah. And there's
more than that, because he has a writing room.
Yeah, and there's rules that he doesn't really know. Like they just tell him that there's rules.
And for the most part, like from what he understands, he can't ask them about their lives, who they were before. He cannot go in to see their rooms. He cannot really. Am I missing something else here?
He can't go into their rooms. He can't ask them about their past. And there's like a weird thing about like dinner, where it's like dinner has to be together. And there's like the last thing where it's like you can't get involved with like one of the girls. So like you can't go on private quote unquote dates with a girl that lives in this house.
Man, the more I realize, more like I think about that, the more I realize that like the person who orchestrated that is a real dick.
Yeah, so we'll get to it.
Like even worse than I previously remembered.
She has Yeah, it's a weird thing.
I think they were just counting on his like his what is the word? His sexual repression to fuel his anger.
I think so.
Came time to like killing that person.
Like I think I do mention later. I think she does give like a really good bait. I forgot what she says specifically, but she does a good bait that I was like, okay, I can see this character Shin actually going for this bait and like stabbing this person. But before we drift too far, let me get through the rest of these episodes. I'm almost done. I'm on episode 8.
Do you get what I mean when I say chairs yet?
No, I'm still on episode.
You get chairs.
Where I'm at right now, I just finished episode 5, and on episode 5, he just finished like the last stretch of his novel. And he just put the name on it. Nanaka had that interview with the other Arthur, who's kind of just a boy yandere at this point. But I'll get into that. That's going to be one of my statements. But yeah, that's that. I don't know what you mean by chairs yet.
Okay, cool.
All right, so I'm just going to go through each one of my statements I have for each one of the episodes. So I'm just going to say word for word what I said on these notes or whatever, right? The first one is this for episode 1. 1 million yen is about 10K. 10K times 5 is 50K. 50K times 6, because they've been together for 6 months, is around
300K.
That is a lot of fucking money. Are these girls selling drugs or something? That's my first note. Second note, is that girl naked? And then my third note, it says, whoa, bro, 17. Red flag, kick her ass out. But yeah, so that was my first notes.
You just put like, you know, just the that meme when the dude stormed the place, like, ladies and gentlemen,
We got him. Got him.
Yeah. But yeah, the only other thing I want to mention that I didn't write on here was like, when the girl just randomly popped into his house, I was like, that was like a really like good reaction where he's like, yo, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
He was like, what the fuck's going on? And then I like when the, go ahead.
Which girl shows up first?
I think it's, is it the actor lady?
Is the actor lady or the yoga book lady?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was like, and I like when the oldest one come, Minami, I think that's how you say it, shows up and she's like, yo, you see that shrine over there? Get the rid of it. Just straight up. I don't give a fuck if that's your mom's asses or shit. Get the fuck out of here.
She came in here, she came, showed up in the house, and she was like, establish dominance immediately. I am big
like,
Papa.
Like a true pimp would. Second episode.
She's just sitting there. She was sitting there in the corner reading Iceberg Slim.
Yeah, episode two was, why are they bringing this Yuki, the rival artist, got his name, into the story? I don't quite understand his purpose in the story. And it seems kind of weird. So that's all I wrote for episode two. Episode three, I said, man, this critic guy is a hater. Why is he such a hater? And then I said, like, side note to it, is like, I think the critic guy is the guy that's sending the messages to Shin. I think he's, like, involved in some type of way. I don't know why. It might just because he just hates him that much. And then the last note I have for episode three is, according to Million Dollar Yen Woman, Kevin Samuels is wrong. You don't got to do shit to get high caliber woman. And then on episode four, I said, Yuki is about it. She got suitors like 21 Savage. And then I said, does Minami be killing bitches too? Because this is like, I think I wrote this when they were talking about the scene, like they were talking about like the his orphan brother or whatever. And she was just like, yeah, we should just get rid of him. And I was like, whoa, bro, where did this come from?
Wait, which episode is this?
This is episode four.
Okay.
And then the other thing I said for this is, I said, it's kind of ironic that he's writing a novel where no one dies and these bitches are trying to kill bitches out here. And that's what I wrote for episode four. And then episode five, the main note I have here is, what a dude yandere. What's the other thing? I said, Shin, this is kind of a guess, and this is kind of just a note for episode five. I said, kind of a prediction of like what his novel's about. I said, in Shin's novel, nobody dies, but no one's happy. And that's why I was like thinking about it. And then this leads into my guessing time or like my guesses of like what's going to happen through the rest of the show or whatever. I said, all these women have read Shin's book and they've been deeply moved by it. And I, let me start from the beginning. All these women have read Shin's book and were deeply moved by it. I bet they had an internet forum called I Want to F Shin So Bad. And then they moved into his place.
You think that's what's going on?
I think something along the lines is like, I think they all have read his earlier books, and they somehow kind of knew each other before they even came to this invitation. And if they didn't, they had like some type of meeting or whatever. And in episode five, the whole thing where Nanaka says like, hey, I know who invited us or whatever. And she said, like, it's someone you know. And I think that person is either the dad, the mom of the cop that was murdered, or his publisher. And if you had to make me choose from the three, I think the publisher makes the most sense. And last thing I want to say about episode five, when he was writing the last part of his novel, I really got the, like, Death Note eating chip vibe. If you ever seen that thing where it's like, I take a chip and I eat it. It is just like super intense and so many cuts. But yeah, that was my thought. And that was like everything I thought of the first five episodes I've seen. I'm planning to go finish up the rest of the episodes and then we have a larger discussion. And those are my guesses. So do you have any questions for me before we like, you know, cut this off? Because I want to keep this short because I don't want to get too much into your opinions. Do you have anything you want me to think about or do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, what happened with Midori in episode five?
In Midori, what happened with her? I don't know too much. They really focused on what's she called? Yuki and her whole like I'm married to an old dude. Nothing really happened other than like, you know, the stuff where she was about to kill the orphan brother, but didn't. And she had that whole, like, weird thing in her room with Shin. And was, like, saying, would you fuck me? Pretty much.
Oh, man, that was so cringe. That was uncomfortable. That's the kind of people like, this is a good show, man. But there's really uncomfortable parts of the show.
Yeah. But yeah, the main thing that happened on episode 5 that I remember, or I think is the most impactful, is Nanaka was talking to Yuki, and Yuki called her stupid. And then she had that interview with the other artists, and then he went all like, I must have her, saying some crazy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing. Feels super bad for the secretary. She seems like a really nice girl that sims for this dude, and he just abuses her.
I'm gonna ask you definitely again. Remind me to ask you about your opinion on the side characters. Well, first off, what is your opinion on the wife, or no, not the wife, the mother of the man that Shin's dad murdered?
Yeah, I think it's super interesting.
Knowing me at the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting. I don't like. I think it's like not a crazy thing to have. Because, like, I really like how, like, they kind of have this weird relationship where, like, there's an understanding where, like, this terrible thing, they're both victims, but they're victims in, like, super different ways. And they're trying to, like, she's trying to keep, like, a cordial, I feel like every time she sees him, it's always trying to, like, keep that in the forefront where it's, like, I can't blame this person because we're both victims.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, super interesting.
Okay.
And seems reasonable. It seems reasonable.
My last question, because it's like 9:58, is what do you think about the soap land lady?
Oh, man. I said this before. I was like, man, I don't know why everyone loves Shinji, but Shinji goes to a whorehouse and the whores still want him, bro. Like, that's crazy, bro. He was like, I go to the soap land. And the girl was like, yo, why don't you give me your number? Like, this feels like the opposite thing that happens in, you know, real, like, brothels and stuff like that. But I don't know the cultures of soap lands. Maybe that's a common thing, but I doubt it.
This very much feels like someone's fantasy.
Yeah.
It very much feels like someone's just like, oh, man, you know, this would be really great if this happened in my life.
Yeah. Why won't
soap land senpai notice me?
Well, like, yeah, like, even, like, the whole thing where it's like, one of these ladies, like, are just totally naked all the time. Like, just totally cool with being naked in front of everybody. I don't know. But yeah, it's weird how, like, is there any female character that has came across Shin in this show that hasn't kind of just liked him? Other than the mom of the dead cop, right? Everyone else seems like they kind of want to fuck him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about it. I honestly can't think of it.
Like, I even think the publisher kind of wants to get in there too. He's always like praising him for his books.
Yeah, so let me squeeze in.
It's like, yeah, but yeah, it's yeah. I'm not trying to like get on it for, but like it's definitely true where like this show is like for some reason everyone likes him. And he doesn't have to do too much for it. Like that's probably harsh. Or it seems like he's not doing too much for it, in my opinion.
He's not. He's not doing anything. He's sad boy times, and it's working for him somehow.
No, Roscoe, his sad boy energy is the thing that's attracting all these women.
It's not even like Zuko type energy. Like, you know, there's like certain sad boy energy that works really well, better than others.
But yeah, it's still interesting.
I mean, it doesn't work. It kind of works. It works on me for like a little bit. Mm. And then she's like, no, how dare you. I don't know, that was a whole thing. That's a whole other thing I don't even want to talk about. That whole section was weird.
do you want to do this? No. Like, he's like, do you want to do this? Oh, yeah, it's cool. Are you sure we're cool with this? What a wimp.
Oh,
ask me, it's okay. Oh, dude,
hold on. hold on. There's a point at the end. Like, you're going to learn something about being to me, and you're going to be like, what make this makes okay just wait till the end.
Okay,
man.
Well, yeah, I do think it's definitely interesting.
I think like one of the positive things I think it really has the show going for it is like I think it does things what good like soap drama shows should do is like things feel like they can go any directions and they leave on pretty good cliffhangers. I'm not saying like they're the greatest ones I've ever seen, but it's very like I don't know where your story's gonna go, and I don't know what's gonna happen after this. You know, after this dude just gets one of the famous celebrity actors that everyone wants just decides to hop in the shower with him and then tells him, yeah, I know the secrets of all the stuff that's happening now, and I'm not gonna tell you.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a fun show.
Yeah,
it's not too heavy, it's not too philosophical, it just piques your interest, and it's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
And unrealistic, but it's just fun. It's fun to watch. At least that's all what I think.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking so far too. The only other thing I would say is like, man, I kind of feel shit with the like, you know, spending so much time to create something and it's no one caring. But I feel him on that. And I kind of like his justification where it's like, you know, it's if anyone likes it, that's kind of pretty much worth it. And if I like it, that's pretty much worth it too. But yeah, I find that one beat of like, oh, that's an interesting redeeming thing about your character. Now continue to be sad boy, with five women paying you a ridiculous amount of money to stay with you that all seem super interested in you for some reason. But yeah, I'll stop it here. I'm gonna watch the rest. I think I have I have 7 more episodes because I have 6. I think it goes up to 12. And we'll reconvene there and have a full discussion then.
It goes up to 12. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And yeah.
Cool.
Cheers.
Cheers. I hope we'll see what that means soon.
All right.
Peace. You know, this kind of transitions into our talk. How long do you think it took us to do the second part of this recording?
I don't know, probably a year.
Oh, you are not, it's not a year, but half a year. We recorded the first part of this 6 months ago.
While I am disappointed, I am also a little bit more optimistic at the same time.
I think it was like June 8th. I think it's like six months on the dot because we're recording this on like December 8th or whatever. But yeah, so I re-listened to it. It was short. We'll kind of pick up there. So pretty much we described the first 5 episodes. I'm going to quickly describe, I'm going to save my notes for the last 12 and they're all shortened. Oh, no. I did 5 and then I did the last 7. So in the first one, I kind of just told you what I thought and I had notes. So I'll continue with these notes because I have a note for each episode and I just want to hear you get your reaction and we can have like our real discussion. So we're back into what's the palace we have? It's not the speculation palace. Oh, we're on like observation lawn again. It's been a while since we've been here. Yeah.
Dude, I forgot.
Yeah, man.
We should call it the lawn of observation. I think that's actually pretty cool.
The lawn of observation. Yep, we're here again. Everything's disheveled. We haven't mowed the grass in a long time. Shit, there's snakes. But yeah, so I'm gonna pick up episode 6, and I'll just tell you like my notes really quick. So for episode 6, I said my dude finished the book. He told me seems to be the only fan in this group of girls for real. She's like seems like the only super fan, and this is the book girl if you remember her. And then my next note is, Hitomi's dad is a writing god, but that doesn't mean she has good taste. And then I have another note here saying, wait, this committee that does book reviews and reads books doesn't read books and makes like committee decisions on like what's the best book. And I was like, is this like a real thing or whatever? And then I said, the next note was what Hitomi's doing is kind of corrupt. She's literally just going to the judges and being like, here's my favorite artist. You better have him on top of the charts.
He's an industry player.
Pretty much. And then I said, what a sore loser and a dude yandere. And I think that I'm referring to like his Shin's like rival when I'm talking about that.
Yeah.
So that's episode. I guess I was like, yeah, oh, because he was like winning. He loses one time and he's throwing a bitch fit. Then I went to episode 7. My note says, I would like to have an interview with the artist, asking him why he wrote this and does he feel like a failed artist that has tons of bitches. And then in episode 7, I also said, I said, oof. I'm like quoting a scene. It says, oof. And then the quote is, I really doubt I will ever fall deeply in love with anyone. And then and then there's a note under it saying, dang, bro, do you believe in aliens?
Insert here the Toradora snippet.
Yep, I inserted there. And then right here, insert the girl tripping really hard, because that is fucking hilarious.
Which scene is that? Oh, yeah.
And then for episode 7, I said, Nanaka. It talks about Nanaka and says, like, it's like, really? You just watched this dude throw up and this is the best time to kiss him?
Okay, I do not remember. Remind me, do you remember what the context of this is?
So Nanaka, like, takes him out on, like, a trip, pretty much. This is, like, right before, you know, the big thing that happens.
Oh, this is Chair Girl.
Yeah, Chair Girl. This is, like, right before she gets, stabby-stabby. And, like, she takes him out and she's like, oh, we're gonna break the rules. And they get drunk. And then he throws up. And then she kisses him. I was like, man, that seems like the worst time to kiss someone, like right after they threw up. And then the last note I have here is the publisher dude taking a picture of them kissing on the street. Oh, there's two more notes here too. It says, I am Chairmaster Nanaka. I'm guessing that's referring to all her chairs in her room. And then the last note here is, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck, murdered in a chair. Okay, episode 8, my first comment is, did no one hear someone get murdered in their same house? She got stabbed. Was this person a ninja or some shit?
I thought she got choked.
I think she got stabbed, but she might have got choked. Either way, ridiculous to me. The other thing I said in this episode, I said, dude, dick move, using someone's desk to promote your book or your title. And then I said, oh, it's probably not super far off from real life, though. Sad.
I mean, yeah. Tekashi 6ix9ine, Trippy Red.
Yeah.
They've all used X66 and Tacion to further their career.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly, of course. Another note I said was, I said, what? Another chair scene for Beyond the Grave? Because, like, there's a scene with him and her in, like, a black room where she's in a chair and he's in a chair. And then the last thing I said for episode 8 was, Shin finally gets to say, I hate you, Dad. And I'm guessing that's when he went to the prison and he said, like, hey, Dad, he didn't say I hate you specifically, but it was pretty heavily applied that, like, hey, like, I think you're a monster kind of thing. Going to episode 9, I said, why is there milk on the shrine? I think that's just because the character liked milk, the more I think about it. And then the second comment is, man, what's worse, a dude yandere or a stan writer? And I'm guessing I'm referring to that duo of the critic and Shin's enemy. Because they're I don't want to say cartoonishly evil, but they just really have a hate boner for Shin for some reason. And I don't know why.
It's not really explained very well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help that we don't really have access to the manga.
Yeah.
Like, the best source material I think either of us have been able to find is, like, the first chapter.
Yeah. Well, like, if someone has the ability to get the manga, I would love to talk to that person or whatever. The other comments I had for episode 9 was, I said, wait, the chick that's hoeing out girls is a virgin? And then I said, under that, I said, side note, is there a porn director that has never had sex making porn movies right now?
This sounds like the concept of a movie.
Yeah. And then, like, the other comments here is like, okay, this makes a little bit more sense because of, like, you know, what her dad did to her and, like, her experience. I was like, okay, this makes sense now. And then the last thing I said on episode 9 was, okay, fire scene looks pretty cool. It was like a pretty cool scene.
Okay. Just to provide some more context, like, to the listener, like, I think what is going on right now is, Nanaka's dead, and they're trying to figure out who did this, who's, like, in charge. There seems to be a big mystery about it, because the person that was let into the house must have, like, had someone from the inside unlock the door, because there's no way that he could have gotten in because it was locked. I forget the name of the madam lady, but
yeah,
the madam lady figures it out. I feel like her name starts with an M.
Minami.
Yeah, so Minami finds out, and for some reason, like, she openly says, "I know who did it," but won't offer the answer for some reason. And we just, like, kind of skip fast forward. Everyone gets invited to a shady dinner for some reason. And they're like, you know what? Let's all go. They leave. They're there. And before they get there, Shin's like, hey, Minami, are you gonna come along with us? And she's like, no, you know, I gotta stay back. I need to do something real quick. Okay, you know, now that this person knows that your life isn't going to be in danger, but sure, well, you know, we'll meet you back up. They go to the dinner. They have this real nice exchange in celebration of Shin's book doing so well. They come back home and the house is on fire, and Minami's charred remains are later found in the building.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I know the reason why she didn't tell anybody, because we got two more episodes to go. Maybe three.
That is the only answer that makes sense. Like, without the manga as a source material, or anyone that really know that has really read the manga, I have no reason but to believe that that was the only conclusion. I just hope it makes more sense within the context of the story.
We like these chairs. We need three more in this scene.
Yeah. We didn't have enough shares.
Episode 10, I said, what's a win when the loser doesn't care? Pretty much this whole episode, I think, is just like trying to, they're like, everyone moves out of the house that doesn't exist anymore. And they're kind of like asking why this stuff happening. Minami gives the 17-year-old girl pretty much her whole business and her bodyguards. And she's pretty much set for life or whatever. And they're like they're all trying to figure out what's going on. And I wrote that note. I don't know specifically why, but I did write that. And then the last thing I write for episode 10 is, why, Yuki, would you, why? That's the whole new note. And I'm guessing
is this when you find out that Yuki is the crazy killer?
Yeah, I think this is like the very end of the episode when Yuki comes into like Shin's new apartment and pretty much says like, hey, I'm the person that did all this shit.
Yeah, after Shin goes on that, like, he goes on the television.
Yeah, okay. This is what makes my note makes more sense. Because, like, when Shin goes on the television, he kind of doesn't care about winning this argument.
And just the, like, the biggest MacGuffin. I mean, it's not technically a MacGuffin, but it feels like a MacGuffin. Like, he just, he remembers one single exchange that they had that, like, and he's able to put together that, oh, you've been lying to me, so you must therefore be the killer.
Yeah, and then, like, he's...
And it wasn't even, like, a really big... Like, it was something that, like, oh, obviously you could forget this.
Yeah.
Because it's not really that important of information. But he just so happens to pull, like, a Sherlock Holmes at that one particular moment.
It's also, like, he was like, yeah, I'm gonna call you out on TV, too. So now you have to see me, since I said it on TV. And everyone's like, what the fuck is he talking about? What's he saying?
But even then, he doesn't kill her. She doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go to the cops.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it doesn't make sense because she's like super rich. And there's like, I guess I think that's what they tried to hint to. And I'm hoping that the manga did a little bit more justice to.
Yeah. And I think at the very end, they were like very like her husband that you've been seeing glimpse of was a fixer. I guess, like, he would, like, fix elections and stuff like that, and she was also, like, super rich and powerful, and I think there was, like, an insinuation that she was, like, attached to the police, so she was able to, like, cover up stuff, too, and, you know, moving on to episode 11, this goes great with my first note. It says, is Yuki a stan or just a yandere? The immediate note under it is, oh no, she's just a murderous yandere. So, like, for context of the viewer, again, this is, like, the part of the show where pretty much Yuki tells her reasoning. And her literal reasoning is, like, hey, your books are not that interesting. They were, like, meh to me. But I just saw that you hated murdering. And I just wanted to make you push you into a corner to murder people. Specifically, me.
This just seems like... She's just like a ridiculous movie director. It's just like, you know what? I really want you to have the best performance. Like, it's like, do you know the guy that made 2001 A Space Odyssey? It's not Stanley Kubrick. He's like known for when he directed the movie The Shining, for like torturing one of the artists, basically. Like, he would like psychologically torture like the actors and make them like record over and over and over again. And some of the best performances in the movie, like, aren't really the people acting. Like, it's more so they're just so frustrated with how many scenes that they've had to do, or like the kind of fear that the director instilled into his cast, that like they weren't really even acting. It was more so like, oh no, I really felt like afraid for my life, or I really felt very frustrated and tired and just wanted to go home. That's kind of what this reminded me of.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But yeah. Yeah, so yeah. So pretty much she comes and she says, like, hey, I set this all up. I killed the two girls. And the reason was to, like, make you successful and to, like, push you into this corner. And now she's, like, giving him this ultimatum to kill her. Or she, like, threatens to do, like, other bad stuff. I think her threat... And I think this was the bait that I think that was really good. I think her bait was like, if you don't kill me now, I will kill like the other two girls. And the short of the scene is Shin doesn't do it, and she's like, all right, I'm glad I've like tested you and seen you this far, and now I'm done with you, and I'll just look out for your next book or whatever. Like, I'm like, this is done. This was fun for me. Not for me. It's time for me to be crazy somewhere else. Yeah. And so the last notes I have here is, Yuki, you bitch. Obviously, I said, oh yeah, fuck, this is a good bait. And then I said, I think at the end, there's a scene with the publisher in Shin. And I think there's like a small quote where like the publisher says, like, hey, Shin, you were always a genius. You were always like a genius. And this is why I like your work. And I said, dang, the publisher is a true homie.
Yeah, the publisher was the true best girl.
the whole time. And then for the last episode, I said, what the fuck? The homeless girl is the new me to me. And that's getting, like, I guess, like, pretty much in the last episode, the youngest person that was in the house, I forgot her name or whatever, she pretty much gets me to me's job, as I said earlier, and she pretty much kills Yuki. Using Minami's connections.
And her brother.
Yeah. Yeah, her brother.
She uses her brother to clean up the body.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at least he has a job now, I guess.
Yeah, now he can finally start paying her back. It's like, dude, again, I'll run you over.
I'll run you over twice as hard next time. And then the last note here is... Oh, I have a couple more notes here. It says, I said, number one sip, if you're not happy, I'm not happy. And I'm guessing that's referring to I forgot her name. I said her earlier.
Exactly. That is how much of a boring character she is.
I mean, I can find her. I think it's Hitomi. Yeah. So she says that shit, or pretty much at the end, because they're like trying to like end this thing on a slightly happy note. And I have another note here that says, I'm your number one simp. Oh, I mean fan, and I'm going to live with you. And as another comment says, nah, get out of my apartment. I got a girl at a soap land waiting for me.
The real, real best girl.
The real, real best girl. And then I think the last comment I have for episode 12 is, that's one strong counter. I will give you, Himatoi. You can't control who you love, and you don't need a reason to love someone or whatever. And then I said, but side note, have you been going to the School of Ram? Because this seems like what Ram would say.
You know what? Ram may not win, but
yeah,
at least good for Itomi.
Oh, Ram wins. She gets her wizard. Thing still doesn't like her. Rosario.
True. Just to go back, I just want to go back real quick to the reveal for Yuki's character when she makes him tries to force him to kill, and he chooses not to. I feel like this is one of the, I guess we can talk about it later, but I feel like that's one of the bigger things that bothers me about the show is, it's not necessarily that there's no character development with his character, even though there's very little, but I don't know. I was thinking that the ending would make his character a little bit more interesting, and him choosing not to kill her while being the right thing. I'm not saying it's not the right thing. I don't know. It didn't feel really complete to me, and it was very frustrating. Not that he did. Not that I want her to die. But it was just it was too easy. He was just should I kill you? Nah. I'm too pure. Or I would have liked to see a little more hesitate, a scene before or something just a little bit more moral frustration.
Mm. Yeah, it's weird. This kind of leads into so I'm done with summarize. This kind of leads into our main discussion. And I think Shin's a good example that you bring up where it's this show has a lot of parts that are not.
Hello, thanks for watching. This is the end of the first part of the Million Dollar Yen episode. The second part will be out in a few days.